Turn your Bibles to Psalm 51, please. Psalm 51 this morning as we continue the thought about repentance. And we see here this hallmark passage of about repentance. We took a look last time, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, there verse number 10, I believe. It was about godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. And here, and I trust that you're familiar with this passage and that the context and the this passage, how it came about, as we understand that this is the psalm that David wrote after Nathan had come to him and after his sin with Bathsheba. And he makes a plea here. For our text verse this morning, though, we want to take a look at Psalm 51, verse 17. Repentance. Repentance. What is it comprised of? Repentance. Verse number 17 of Psalm 51, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, colon. A broken and contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for your people. Lord, that you've convicted to come and to assemble together today to worship you. We thank you, Father, for visitors that you bless us with, Lord, and those that come very, very often and assemble with us, and even of our own households and such that come. Lord, we thank you for each and every one. And we pray, Father, you'd help us as we look into your word this morning, that we might be blessed of you in it. Lord, that we would find that blessing and see the blessing that your word always has for us. Lord, that your truth is speaking to us from eternity. It's your message. Your Bible is your message to us from eternity, Father. And we praise your name that you've sent it unto us and you've provided it for us. And Lord, we praise your people, Lord, that we might hear what your word says and we might be changed by it. And Lord, that we might just be drawn closer to you in the walk that we have with you while we live in this earth. And Lord, looking for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, for those that are here this morning and not saved, that even this morning would be the time of their salvation, Father, that you'd visit them and show them Jesus Christ, Lord, that they'd come to you in repentance and faith as you command, and Lord, you'd work in them and save them as you only can. Help now, we pray, and bless, Father, and work. Use your word upon us all, and use it on all of us, Father. We need it, and we pray you'd help us in it. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name for his sake. Amen. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. What David is speaking here, and of course the scripture comes to us, it's under the inspiration of the moving of God upon David, the Lord using him and to pen these words. And it tells us here in a very concise and direct way what God wants is for the inside to be right. That's what God is after. And God's not struggling for that to be accomplished, but that's what is God. That is what God wants in us. He wants the inside to be right. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken spirit, where we are broken before God, and that word broken does mean broken, as if you take a look at that in other passages in the Old Testament scriptures, it does mean to be cracked, to be broken into pieces, to be somewhat destroyed, if you will. It was. It gives an indication of something being whole. That spirit is broken. In the raising of our children, that's what has to happen. Their spirit has to be broken. We don't need to crush them, but we need to break their will and direct them in a right way, a godly way, because that which they pursue after naturally will lead them to death. And that's the way it is with us before God. And that's the way that the Lord works amongst the inhabitants of men, women, boys, and girls, as it is with a child, that their will needs to be broken to the will of the parents during that time of their raising. They naturally will not choose that which is good and that which is well for them. They need us to direct them. And may God help us that we be directing them after what the Word of God says, amen, to show them the right way, because it does not come to them naturally. It does not come to Joseph naturally. He needs his parents to direct him in a way that's right. Otherwise, he would destroy himself. It's the way that it is. Well, that happens in the home, and that is typical of the way it needs to be, and an example of the way it needs to be between us and God. We need to be broken to our own will, our own desire. That which we want, that needs to be broken down. And the Lord says a sacrifice, the Scripture says the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. And it gives clarity here, after the colon that is there, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. A broken spirit, broken to self-will, broken to self-control, God does not despise that. He does not have contempt for that. He does not it does not lack honor in the sight before the Lord. He wants it that way. That's the way it needs to be for it to be well with men, women, boys, and girls. We need to have a broken spirit. And here, this word contrite, it's the same word that is used in verse number 8, which we'll get to here in a moment. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. This word contrite is the same word as that word broken there, and it's speaking more of humility, if we understand it right from the Scriptures. So a broken spirit to self, to self-will, to self-desire, and humility. That word contrition, that word contrite, is talking about bowing down to, humbling oneself to. That is what God wants in the sinner and desires in the sinner. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. You won't abhor that, Lord. You abhor the wickedness of men and the sin of men, the disobedience of men, and how men seek to worship you and miss the mark and all those things, and the wickedness and the depravity that prevails amongst mankind because of sin and because of our fall. Those things are despised by the Lord. But to be broken and to be humble before the Lord, God loves that. He likes that. Because He's God. And we're His creation. We're His creature. We're His creatures. We've been created by Him. We belong to Him. Every soul is in the hand of God. And we need to know it in every whit. As you've heard me say recently, since our VBS and the understanding that we're given in the Scriptures about the creation, God is dominant over all. And He has created this earth, and He has put us in it so that we might have dominion. That comes at His directive over all of His creation. We might have dominion over all of His creation, that it might be to the praise and honor and glory of His name. But because of sin, we've taken that dominion that we've been given and that responsibility and that ability to have dominion over the Lord's creation, and we've taken that to glorify ourselves. That's because of sin. That's because of our depravity. And in doing so, the Lord is greatly, greatly displeased. You know this, here in verse number 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. You know, this is not a natural thing. It doesn't come natural to us. So for our spirit to be broken, for self-will and will of ourself and what we want to do, and then for ourselves, our soul, and our spirit to be humble before God, it does not come naturally. It's not a thing that is natural. It's natural for us to not have a broken spirit. It's natural for us to not be humble before God. That's what's natural. And this is a part of the working of salvation that the Lord works into us, and we'll see part of what He uses in this. David starts here after the Lord has brought this to his attention through his man, and David admits that he is guilty before God. He asks Nathan to pray for him, and he petitions the Lord that the Lord would be merciful. And it seems that David goes off by himself, and and writes this psalm, and he begins in verse number 1, "Have mercy on me, O God." Have mercy on me, O God. And I want us to pay attention to the verbs that are here in this, the front end of this chapter. Have, Lord, you need to do it, but I need you to be merciful to me. I need you to be merciful to me. What is mercy? Mercy is not getting what we deserve. David, for his sin, even as a child of God, he deserved to die. You, and I know we're taking a look at a psalm written by a saved man that had sinned against his Lord and Savior, and he is repentant over that. But I tell you what, repentance, whether it's for the child of God or repentance for the sinner in need of salvation, repentance is repentance, folks. It's the same. It has the same characteristics. It has the same way about it because it involves a broken spirit and it involves a contrite heart. It involves humility. It involves a submission and a yielding to God with that no holds bar, no strings attached. No strings attached. It is open and honest before God in the sinner's guilt. Have mercy. Not, can I work a way of mercy, Father? Can I make a deal with you? Can I straighten this out some way by something? Have mercy. Give me that, or don't give me that which I deserve. David, it was expressed there over in the account of this, in the scriptures, that David was fearful about dying because of his sin. Nathan said that there was great occasion to the enemy of God, to the blaspheming of the word of God, and in the testimony of God and in his nation because of what David had done. He brought a great cause and a great thing that the enemy of the Lord could use. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. Lord, your love is great, your mercy is great. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. He's not looking for a deal, is he? He's not saying, if some mercy will work, Father, then go ahead and do that. If I've sinned, if I've got some transgressions, go ahead and apply some mercy to it. No, but he says, I am guilty. And he expresses that even clearer in the coming verses. But he says, oh, have mercy on me, upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. He reminds the Lord how the Lord has been merciful in days gone by. And he says, Lord, I need it again. You're a loving God. You're a merciful God. And oh, I need your mercy, Father. I need your mercy upon me. According unto the multitude, he said, there are many. Your tender mercies are many. There's a multitude of them. Father, I need them applied to me. I need those applied to me. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Lord, he's going to go on to say, Lord, make them to where you can't see them. Blot them out. My transgressions. Not somebody else's. Not somebody else's. Not mama and daddy's fault, not my friend's fault, not my wife's fault, my problem, my transgressions. Blot my transgressions out, O Lord. Wash me thoroughly. And we notice that verb there, wash. He's saying, Lord, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Lord, I need you to work in me. Work in me, Lord. Wash me. Cleanse me. Be merciful to me. I deserve to die. But blot out my transgressions. And Lord, wash me up. And not just a spit bath, but wash me up thoroughly, Lord. Wash me and cleanse me from my sin. Verse number 3. For I acknowledge my transgressions. I acknowledge that there's that verb again in that, the verb in that verse. I acknowledge them. And they're not ours, our transgressions. They're mine. And I admit them before you. I'm guilty of them. They're mine. And I need help because I can't undo them. But though I can't take them back. I can't make them go away. Because you see down into the depths of my heart and my soul, you've seen what I've done, and you saw in me what's caused me and what I allowed to work in my heart to bring me to that, to do that physically. It's mine. I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. I can't get rid of it. I need you to do something about it, Lord. I acknowledge them. If I have sinned, Lord, do something about it. No, David says, I have sinned. I acknowledge them. I am guilty. Lord, I need you to work, and I need you to help me in it. No deals with God. No hedging with the Lord. I acknowledge my transgressions. In this case, David coveted after a woman that was not his. He lied, trying to cover it up. He murdered a man in trying to cover it up. He lied, he coveted, he committed adultery, and he committed murder in the pursuit of his sin. It got started and it kept on going, didn't it? And it started in here. It started in his heart. And he acknowledges it before the Lord. See, this is repentance, folks. Repentance. He's humbled and broken before the Lord that he has sinned against God. He's going to make that clear. And he cries out for mercy before the Lord, that the Lord would have mercy on him. He doesn't deserve for what is to be meted out upon him to be taken back. He doesn't deserve that. But he prays that the Lord might be pleased to do so. And he leaves himself there in the care of the Lord, doesn't he? He doesn't demand of the Lord, but he's making a petition, a plea to the Lord. Please, Lord, do so. He's not commanding the Lord to do anything. He reminds the Lord of His mercy and His loving kindness and how He has been, has expressed a multitude of mercies in days gone by to Himself and to others. But He makes no demand before the Lord, but He pleads and cries before the Lord that the Lord might be pleased to do so this time. I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. He took a woman and because he was king, I believe, he forced her. And then took and killed her husband. And then forced her to come and be his wife. And then lied and then did what he did in this. Did he not sin against Bathsheba? Did he not sin against the nation? Did he not sin against his own household? He did. But where it was reckoned was before God, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Because you're the reckoner, Lord. Sin is against you. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Before your eyes. Before the quivering, the winking of your eye as it looks upon wickedness and sin and the righteous indignation of God towards sin, even in His own children, that it needs to be reckoned, it needs to be dealt with from the standpoint of a child sinning against his father. He said, I've sinned against you. You. And it's to be reckoned before you, against thee. Thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Why has he said this? Why has David admitted this and offered this before the Lord? He tells us in the balance of that verse. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, colon, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest, because you're going to. And Lord, I'm not putting any resistance up against it. I have no plea that I am not guilty. You are going to judge it. And you'll have no quarrel out of me. There won't have to be a convincing of whether I am or whether I'm not guilty. Lord, you've caused me to see I am guilty. So when you speak, you can be clear. When you speak and when you reckon this matter, you can be justified. Lord, you're right, and I'm wrong. Lord, you've set the standard of what righteousness is in regards to this affair, and I've crossed it. I've disobeyed it. I've gone against it. Lord, you're right, and I'm wrong. Against thee, and thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. David, you've heard me say it here in recent times, David comes before the Lord and he says, Lord, I'm guilty. What's next? Lord, be merciful to me, but you'll determine what's next. Lord, I desire for you to be merciful to me, but he doesn't even ask for how the Lord should be merciful, does he? He doesn't make a petition about how the Lord should extend his mercy. He just asks the Lord to be merciful. I'm guilty, Lord. I'm guilty. I see that I am guilty, and I humble myself. I bow the knee to what you are going to do next. A broken heart and a contrite heart before the Lord. David says in verse 5, Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Is that a cop-out? No, it's just the facts. It's just the facts. I'm a sinner, Lord. I'm a sinner because I inherited it. There was nothing wrong with David's mother and Jesse coming together in marriage and to conceive David. There was nothing wicked about that. It's of the Lord. It's the Lord's design. But because his daddy's a sinner, David is a sinner. And he admits it before God. I'm a sinner, Lord. I'm a sinner. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm guilty of this evil, this wickedness that I've done in your sight. I'm a sinner, Lord. Have mercy on this sinner. Lord, I'm trapped. Justification for his sin? Never. But a sober understanding of what the situation is? Yes. I'm a sinner, Lord. And you're not. Help me. Help me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Is it not a reiteration of what we've read, a review yet again of what we read in verse 17? The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit that's within, and it's manifested from within going out. A broken and contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. A proud heart is despised by the Lord. A cocky attitude within. A heart that is pleased with its own way and its own connivings and its own conceits, God abhors. You hear that? A heart that believes that it's being cunning and being crafty before God and not being honest before God, God hates that. Says, you want truth in the inward parts, Lord. With me, this is where this started. It started on the inside. And it manifested itself in my flesh. But you want truth in the inward parts. You want me to be humble and broken before you. That's where the blessing is. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Lord, I did not pursue after truth in the inward part when I did this. You that are here this morning and not saved, you are not pursuing after truth in the inward man. Because you're devoid of the Spirit of God within. You want your way and the way of the world. And it'll lead to death. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. And in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. How is it that we are made to know wisdom? How is that? It's from God's Word, isn't it? It's from what God says. See, God was merciful in that He sent Nathan to David. He could have just killed him. But instead, He sent the man of God to him to tell him the truth. To lay out, if you will, the example of the man that had the one sheep. And how the neighbor came, the wealthy neighbor came and took that man's one sheep. And took it and killed it. And used it for supper for his visitor. And David hated that, didn't he? That man will die today. And he'll pay it back. Isn't that interesting? In his David's righteous indignation, he said he'll die and he'll pay it back. Oops. When the man's dead, he can't pay nothing, can he? Of course, his estate would. Thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Lost sinner, God is speaking to you through His Word from God Almighty in eternity down here to your soul, your being, your address today. You're a sinner. And you're guilty before God. And you need to repent of it before God. And you need to trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior, for the forgiveness of your sins. For the salvation of your soul. That's the only way that you can know about it is God telling you about it, because you don't know about it naturally. You need to repent. You need to have a broken heart before God that you say, yes, I am guilty. Nobody else matters. It's me. I'm the problem. My sin is my problem. My wicked soul and heart is my problem. Have mercy on me, O Lord. As the song says, show pity, Lord. Show pity, Lord, to me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom by your word, by what you say, to be godly wise. To see things the way God sees them. See, David saw him a way that he saw him. He went over to his understanding, and that took him down the road of destruction, didn't it? But now, through the Word of God and through the man of God, it's been brought to David's attention, and the Lord has been merciful to him and shown him the truth. He sinned against God. He's guilty. And he cries out to the Lord to be merciful unto him with no strings attached. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom by your word. Verse 7, purge me with hyssop. Hyssop being used in a couple occasions in the Old Testament scriptures. It was taken and used there, a plant there in the time of Israel there in Palestine. It was taken to take the blood and put it on the doorpost and the lintel in Egypt for the Passover. It was used in part of the purification ritual of the leper. It was used relative to the sacrifice and the offering there of the red heifer. It seems to be a plant that has and was noted to have a cleansing agent and an odor that was pleasing to the to the people to indicate and designate purification. David says, I want you not to just give me a spit bath, Lord. I want you to wash me up inside and out. I need it. Cleanse me. Cleanse me. Purge me. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Lord, if you purge me, if you wash me, I shall be whiter than snow. You that are here this morning and not saved, that's what you need. You need to be washed. You need to be washed by the Lord. Not turn over a new leaf, not clean yourself up, but to be washed by the Lord. How many of us are willing to go before the Lord and say, Lord, purge me? Purge me, Lord. Wash me. Make me clean. Make me your kind of clean. Tell you what, it might not be easy on this flesh, but it'll be good. And that's what David desired. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken, the bones that thou hast humbled, may rejoice. Did God break any of David's bones over this instance and this occurrence of his sin with Bathsheba? There's nothing in the Scripture that tells us that, is there? David is talking and said, Lord, you've brought your word to me, and you have broken me. You have humbled me. You have shown me the truth in your word. Lord, take me and heal me. Lift me up. Wash me. Make me clean. See, God, David's not making a deal with God, is he? He's not hedging on what he's done, is he? And he is humble. He is broken in soul and in spirit, and he is humbled before the Lord. He's bowing the knees to God. Lord, you work in me to remedy this in me. That's what I want. That's what I desire. Make me to hear joy and gladness, verse 8, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. I want to rejoice in you, Lord. Hide thy face from my sins. As he said earlier, blot it out. Wash it away. Cleanse me. I've done this evil before you, Lord. Take it, wash it, cleanse it, and blot it out. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Because of what I've been pursuing after and what I've been thinking about and that which I've undertaken, I've allowed my heart, even as your child, to be dirty. To get dirty. You know, we can do that as the Lord's children. We can take in trash and junk and the depravity and wickedness of this world. We can take that stuff in. There's nothing wrong with a TV. There's nothing wrong with a computer. But I tell you, folks, what comes through it, as we're exposed to it, will program us. How long do you have that thing on all during the course of the day? Is it on 2, 4, 6, 8 hours a day? The language of those that are speaking there, it influences us. The content, the innuendo, it influences us. What we view and watch for entertainment, it influences us. And if that's coming at us and coming at us and coming at us, and maybe you spend an hour a day in the Word of God and 3 hours, 4 hours, 6 hours with the things of the world coming at you, how does the Word of God stand a chance to purge that away? To suffer those that take your Savior's name in vain and that use vile language and wicked innuendo, it'll program us, folks. It desensitizes us. To where we don't hear it, we get to where we don't see it, we get to where we don't feel it. And David says, I want a clean heart before you, Lord, because what you're really interested in when you look at me is not what I do on the outside, but what's going on the inside. And when the inside's right, folks, the outside will be just fine. It'll be fine. Salvation, cleansing, sanctification of the Lord, it works from the inside out. And it's what's on the inside that ends up showing up. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I want a spirit that's in line with you. Not with what the world says, and not with what my friends that so-called say, and not with what the desire of this flesh is, but with that is in line with you. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Because, Lord, the only place of blessing is in your presence. Cast me not away from thy presence. There was a threat. There was a threat that David could have been removed as king. There was a threat that David's life could have been taken by the Lord. There's a threat that David certainly, and he did experience it with Absalom, and that he was exiled for a time. And the thought of being taken away from the presence of the Lord, it vexed him. Why? Because the truth of God's Word came to him. He says, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. It says, Lord, I've sinned against you, and I deserve to be banished and exiled from you. Lord, be merciful and don't do that. Don't do that to me. Don't do that to me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. How's the joy of your salvation? Do you rejoice before the Lord daily about Him saving you? Or is your joy kind of waned, kind of gone down, kind of faded away? If it has, it's because of sin in our lives, folks. That's bottom line. It's because of our hearts not being right and us being humble and broken before the Lord. David, and the Lord visiting him this way because of his sin and his disobedience, he had a threat, obviously, and he says, Lord, I want to commune with you in the inner man. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Lord, help me that this wickedness be taken away from me and the effects of this sin be taken away from me, and that I might rejoice in you. And of course, we know that there were consequences to David's sin that he lived with in his home and his family the rest of his life, didn't he? But Lord, purge me, cleanse me, blot them out, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Lord, grant me and help me to have that liberty to serve you once again. Not to be a free spirit in whatever way that I desire, but Lord, that I might be set at liberty, that I might be free again to serve and honor and worship you. That's what the salvation of the Lord has done for us, folks. It saved us from our sins and from the world and from our depravity. And it set us at liberty, not that we might live however we want, but it set us at liberty and made us free from sin and wickedness and condemnation that we might serve the Lord. We that have been saved have been set at liberty to serve God. When we were dead in trespasses and sins, we were in bondage to where we couldn't. But now we've been set free that we might serve. We can see where before we couldn't see. We can hear where before we couldn't hear. And that had been compromised with David. And he desired to walk with the Lord within the inner man, in the new man. In verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. Repentance. Repentance has an outward manifestation, and repentance has a manifestation that comes from within. There are words of repentance, there are action of repentance, but there is a spirit of repentance that comes forth. That spirit of repentance is that contrition, that contriteness, that humbleness from within, where we say, Lord, I'm guilty. What's next? Lord, be merciful. I don't deserve you to be, but be merciful. If it please you, would you? I've got this that's happened to come upon me because of my sin and my wickedness. I deserve it. But Lord, will you be merciful? Will you forgive me? Will you help me? Will you cleanse me? You either here this morning and not saved, you need to repent. And it's not just words. It's just not words that you say. But it's you before the Lord. It's you, your sin, and Jesus Christ. That you're guilty before God. That you see your guilt before God, and that you're a sinner, and you're separated from God, and that your wickedness and your sin has done so, and you cry out for mercy to the Lord that He might save your soul. You're guilty. You've got hell and the lake of fire and all the damnation and condemnation of God. You've got that coming, and you admit that before God. It's due you. But you cry out for mercy, and you look to the Son of God. As I've said a few times here recently, the Lord just doesn't stop at saying for the sinner to repent. But in the next words, it says, believe the gospel. He shows the Son. Amen? Look and live.